Good morning. How's everybody? My name is Tim Riddle, and I'm glad to be with you. Earlier this week, I was riding my bicycle. A lot of you know I like to do that, and I was coming up Heron Road, got to the top of that road, and it was one of those hot days, and Wayne was cutting his grass, and he happened to be right there, and thank goodness, because that was an excuse for me to stop and catch my breath. So we chatted for a little bit, and at the end of that conversation, he said, looking forward to having you this Sunday. And I said, I'm looking forward to being here. And he said, you know, it's kind of like homecoming, isn't it? And I thought about that as I pedaled off, and I said, yeah, it sure is. You know, every time I come back, it feels like a homecoming for us and our family, and I just thank you for that. You guys have been so gracious to us and welcome us, and I'm just honored and look forward to being with you every time I get a chance to do this. Glad to give Jeff a little bit of a break this weekend. Love him. Love your pastor. Pray for him and you guys every day. And so thank you for letting me be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn or you can look on the screens, whatever works best for you. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 7 today. Luke chapter 7. Hear the word of God starting with verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So this morning we're going to talk about a problem, and the problem is our inability to see. So let's put that passage up, that question that Simon asked, and basically he says, Do you see this woman? He asked Simon the Pharisee. Do you think he was talking about an eyesight issue, or was it something else? We're going to dive into that a little bit this morning, but first, why don't you bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this morning as we've had a time of song, a time to worship with you. And now we get to open your word and continue that act of worship. God, we pray this morning that these words will speak to our eyes and to our ears and to our hearts and to our soul. And God, as I always pray, I pray that these will be your words, not mine, that people would certainly see you, not me. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start this morning with a question. It's probably pretty obvious. I can look around the room, but raise your hand if you wear glasses or you wear reading glasses that you may not have on right now, or you wear some type of contacts. Just raise your hand. Yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, the national statistics tell us that 75% of the population actually wears some type of corrective, vision to help our vision, to help us see a little bit better. It's actually 64% wear glasses, 11% wear contacts. Now, 50% of those people are women. 42% are men. And the other 8% are the men who are looking for things in their closet that their wife told them was there and they can't find it because they don't have glasses, right? How many of you wear bifocals? Anybody? Yeah, I wear them as well. Do you remember when you first got them? It's pretty frustrating, right? You're kind of looking up and looking down, and if you look the wrong way and you stepped off the side of a, a step or two, you're thinking you're stepping off the side of a mountain. There's nothing more frustrating than the inability to see, right? I remember I was in New York. I was at a showroom, and we had just finished the show for the day, and it's when I was in the marketplace. I headed back to the hotel, and I left my glasses in the showroom, got back to the hotel. The room, the temperature wasn't exactly right. It was one of those older rooms, didn't have the nice fancy thermostats like we have today with the big numbers. You had to kind of dial it, and you had to move it one way or the other, and I couldn't tell, and I was standing about this far from the thermostat. There were no lights in that particular area, and I remember thinking, this is one of the most frustrating things I've ever done in my life. Why can't I figure that out? But do you know there's actually two different kinds of vision? One is what I just talked about, which is your eyesight, right? You can measure that. I mean, that's the most common type of vision that we talk about. But the other is one that I will call our awareness. Our awareness vision, our ability to see things that are around us, our ability to recognize the needs of others. Because, sometimes we can develop tunnel vision. We can sort of get closed in on our own agendas. We might have a little bit of that "it's all about me" syndrome. And you know what we might even have? I mean, I wouldn't think you would in this congregation, but some of us might even have some irritating behaviors that everybody else can see, but for some reason we can't see it. Do you know our eyesight either, without glasses or with glasses, you can correct them and our eyesight might be 20/20, but sometimes our awareness, vision, we're legally blind. We know people like that, right? I mean, we know others like that, that are clueless. And we think, why can't they see this? It's always easier to see in others than it is to see in ourselves, right? How many of you have ever taken an awareness test? All right, it's one of those tests that you take to kind of figure out how aware you are. Do you see all the details? Are you somebody that, that just kind of flies over your head? You ever had one of those? Well, this morning, we're going to take an awareness test. So if you were settled in for a long winter's nap, you have to wake back up here just for a minute. And let me tell you what's going to happen. In just a minute, Catherine's going to show this video on the screen. It's going to have some instructions, but I'm going to go ahead and give them to you ahead of time, give you a chance to think about it. I don't want you to get caught. And there's going to be two teams of people playing basketball. They're just passing a basketball around. And there's one team that has white shirts. And all you have to do is count how many passes the team in white makes. One, two, three. Just how many times they pass the ball to each other. You ready for that? I need you to lean in, check out the screen, and let's fire that first video.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
All right, who thinks they have the answer? Shout it out if you think you have it. 13. Somebody said 12. 13. You think that's right? All right, let's go to the next video and find
out. The answer is 13.
Feel pretty good about that? So on an awareness scale, if I was giving you, kind of grading you, you'd get an A+ on that one, right? Take a look.
But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Look on the right side of your screen. Here he comes. Right in the middle. So why didn't you see it? You're too busy counting, right? You're too busy focused on one thing that you completely missed something else. Has that ever happened to you in life? Well, that's called a blind spot. You know, in scientifically, if you look at your eye, there's actually a blind spot that's in the back of your eye. It's a small area on the retina. It's the size of a pencil eraser. It doesn't have photoreceptors, and so when light hits it, you can't see. It's on each eye actually has it. But when we think of blind spots, the most common example that we use is when we're riding in a car, right? I mean, we've all had that experience where we're riding in a car and we're getting ready to change lanes and we, you know, just kind of look in our mirror and all of a sudden you hear the horn, you know, somebody blows the horn and you're startled and you look and it's like, oh, I didn't even see them. They were in our blind spot, right? We would never think about getting in a car without adjusting the mirrors. If it was a car that you didn't normally drive, what's the first thing you would do? You would adjust the mirrors to make sure that they're correct. If I get in Stacy's car, her mirrors are adjusted for her. Well, if I get in her car, I'm going to adjust them. When she gets back in, she's not going to say, well, I'll just leave them the way they are. I'm too busy. I'll just drive without mirrors today. You always adjust the mirrors. But you know, in life, sometimes we never take time to adjust the mirrors. In fact, sometimes we even forget that we even have mirrors that we can use because we're consumed in our own world. And when that happens, those blind spots can blow up marriages because one spouse can't see the needs of the other. Teenagers make decisions that, you know, sometimes kind of throw them in the ditch because they can't see beyond the next hour or day. They can't see down the road. What about leaders of organizations? We've seen that, right? We read it in the paper. For some reason, they blow up their life because of these blind spots where they got so much tunnel vision, they had no idea the people they were hurting. How about corporations where you read and they go bankrupt and all of a sudden there's a surprise like, what happened? Well, somebody took their eye off the ball, probably. How about churches? You know, sometimes churches have a tendency to look inward, and they develop these blind spots, and before you know it, they're struggling to kind of keep the doors open. What about our political system? Oh, boy, we better not go there, huh? I'm not talking about the current system or anything. It's not a Republican-Democratic statement, but just look at our political system over the past, you know, 10, 20, 30, how many ever years you want to look at. You think there's a few blind spots found there? I think this is one of the biggest issues in our society today. And I was so passionate about it that I decided about a year and a half ago, God laid on my heart to write a book, and the book's entitled Blind Spots, What You Don't See Can Hurt You. It's coming out at the beginning of next year. We actually just turned the manuscript in. Phil Anderson, one of our pastors at St. Mark's, and I are writing this together. And this is, some of you, Pete asked me earlier, he said, you're going to tell people what you're doing now because I'm not the pastor at St. Mark's anymore. And so I had not planned to do that, but I'll give you a little snippet. I actually started a business. It's called Discover Blind Spots, and my goal, my passion, is to work with companies and nonprofits and churches and helping them uncover the blind spots in their organization through strategy, through clarity in their messaging, and alignment of their teams. And so that's what I plan to do, hopefully, with the rest of my life. You know, when Phil and I were writing this book together over the past year, last fall, we were doing some research, and one of the things that we did, we said, hey, why don't we make sure this thing that we're writing about is biblical? And so you go off, Phil, you go off and you write down every scripture you can think of that's related to sight or seeing or the inability to see. And I'll do the same. And we came back together after a couple of weeks and we put all our notes together. We had about 100 pages of scripture was talking about the need and the significance of sight. In fact, if you go through this book, if you start, I mean, just a couple of highlights. I mean, it doesn't take long. You go a few pages, third chapter, Genesis chapter 3. You think Eve had a little blind spot? How about if we move on and you get over to King David, the king, one of the greatest kings of all, the heart of God. I mean, David loved God. God loved David. But there was one day that he peeked, right? He kind of looked. He was on the top of his palace, and he looked, and he saw this lady named Bathsheba. You think that led to a blind spot? What about Peter? Jesus and Peter, they're in the upper room, and Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me. And he says, there's no way I'm going to deny you. Maybe a blind spot, right? What about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was determined. He was determined that he saw so clearly that he was going to stamp out this new faith, this new religion. In fact, the Christians had fled out of Jerusalem, and he's on his way to Damascus. And God has to temporarily remove his sight so that he can actually see his blind spot. You know, Jesus was probably the most incredible poster child, I guess you would say, example for us of someone who had phenomenal vision. Now, I'm not talking about his eyesight. I don't know what his eyesight was. I guess it was probably pretty good, but we don't have any records of that. But I'm talking about his awareness vision, his presence with people. In other words, he always just seemed to be in the moment with people, with whoever he was with that particular day. He saw things that nobody else could see. Remember in Luke chapter 8, I don't know if you remember the story, but there was a synagogue leader, and this leader had a daughter who was sick, and he asked Jesus, he said, hey, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to come and heal my daughter, see what you can do. And so at this time, Jesus' life, there were crowds following him everywhere, loving to hear his teaching and also to watch him perform miracles. And so Jesus is on his way to see this little girl, and the crowd is pushing in on him. Remember this story? And this lady who had a disease reached out and touched, you see the picture, touched the hem of his robe. And Jesus, in all of this chaos, Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And you could almost sense the disciples, you know, you could almost hear their frustration. They're like, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. How do we know who touched you? But Jesus just had this uncanny ability to see things that nobody else could see. Which leads us to Luke 7, our passage today. We have a Pharisee. His name is Simon. He invites Jesus over for dinner. He invites some of his other friends as well. And you may think this was a hospitable dinner. It could be. My guess is he was inviting him over because Jesus was getting a lot of attention over the religious leaders, and so they were trying to find something to discredit him, maybe catch him in a phrase or whatever, and so they just wanted to check him out. They're reclining at the table, having dinner, and there's perhaps a knock on the door, and this lady walks in. Now, we're not talking about just any woman. It was that woman. It was that sinful woman. So pretty bold move. She walks in. She interrupts the dinner party. She's standing behind Jesus. She's carrying a gift, a perfume, in an alabaster jar. She begins to weep, and her tears, she's leaning over, her tears hit his feet. She walks around, kneels in front of him, and begins to wipe his feet with her tears. There you see the picture. And then she pours the perfume on Jesus' feet. What a scene that must have been. But then we back up and we try to think, well, what did Simon see? You know, what was his vision of that particular scene? How did he take that in? And we find out because Simon says, you know, if this guy were a prophet, I mean, surely he would know who was touching him. I mean, surely he would know. Wouldn't allow this to happen. Not this particular woman. And Jesus then sort of changes the narrative, and he challenges the vision of Simon. And he tells him the story of forgiveness. You know, you have two people that one has a lot of debt and one has a little debt, and both of them are forgiven. So which one do you think is most appreciative? Well, certainly the one with the largest debt. And then Jesus asked Simon this very simple question. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? Might be one of the most compelling questions in Scripture. See, Simon's vision was clouded by his self-righteousness, clouded by his prejudice, his entitlement. In fact, when Simon looked at this particular scene, what he saw was sin. He saw mistakes. He saw depravity, weakness. He saw a worthless woman interrupting a dinner. But Jesus, he saw a need. He saw forgiveness. He saw brokenness, repentance. He saw value, he saw love in this lady. So how can two different people in the same room, literally within 10 feet maybe of each other, see two totally different things? One of them had a blind spot, don't you think? Did you know that there's a difference between looking and seeing? You know, we use those two words, but they're not the same. Looking is very quick, but seeing takes time. In other words, when you see, you have to process information. You have to connect dots. You have to sympathize. You have to understand the situation. You might even be called to take action once you truly see. In today's world, do you notice that we look way more than we see? As we're driving on the interstate and we see an accident, we look at the accident, but do we see the potential damage done to the people that are in that accident and what perhaps could be happen to them for the rest of their life? We see we look at a married couple that walks in, maybe a married couple in this church, and we look, but do we take the time to see there may be some cracks in their marriage foundation? And they're just hanging on by a thread. And they're just waiting to see if you can help. We look when we drive off the interstate. You know, we've had this happen. We look and we see somebody standing with a sign asking for money. But do we truly see what caused them in their life to get to this point, to where they're having to beg for enough money to have just another meal or two? So how do we move from looking to seeing? How do we improve our vision? How do we recognize a blind spot? In other words, is your vision, is it obstructed by a blind spot of hatred, of anger, bitterness, impatience, maybe entitlement or prejudice? Are these blind spots, are they limiting you from being all that God wants you to be? Are they kind of like a cataract? You ever had a cataract removed? I had one and one eye removed. And the very next morning, I went into the bathroom and flipped on the lights. And I called Stacy and I said, did you change the light bulbs? I mean, they're so bright. Are your blind spots kind of clouding over your vision? So how do we see more like Jesus? Well, we need some mirrors, right? We need some mirrors in our life. When you get in your car, you have three different mirrors that allow you to see all around you, correct? So we need some mirrors that we implement that become mirrors into our soul. And so in my little time I have left, I'm going to leave you with three. And now you may be thinking, okay, so he's been studying and he's been reading and he's got the three greatest, latest things to think about. You know what I uncovered in all of my study over the past year? Is it really comes back to three simple things. Things that you've heard dozens and dozens and dozens of times. But here's one thing I guarantee you. If you implement, if you look through these three mirrors, you will not have an issue with blind spots in your life. You will not have an issue seeing. First, the book. This book can be a phenomenal mirror for you if you allow it to be that. But let me just tell you, this book is a book that you need to look in that mirror. We need to look in that mirror every single day. So now, you know, you may be tensing up thinking, golly, really? I mean, I've got so much to do. Now you're telling me I got to read this big old book. Doesn't matter how much you read, but I am convinced because I've done all kind of reading plans. I've spent time where I've tried to read. I'll read in the morning. I'll read at night. I'll fall asleep with the book. I'll feel guilty the next morning. I've been there. I've done that. I know how you feel. And here's what I've determined, that it's not significant how much you read. It is significant that we are in this book looking at this mirror every single day. When you get in a car and you adjust one of those mirrors, do you spend like 20 minutes adjusting the mirror? No, you adjust it. You look every day. Phenomenal mirror that will look into your soul. Second, we need time of solitude. In other words, we need that one-on-one time with God. I know many people, I know some in here, maybe you may be retired, and I always find it interesting that when I talk to retired people and I say, so how's it going? And they're saying, well, I'm busier now than I've ever been in my life. I got to go back to work. But we seem to be living in a culture that has convinced us that the busier we are, the better off we are, right? We've got to have a lot of things to do. I'm just telling you, we've got to have some time where it's just you and God. And I realize that's a prayer time. I get that. But let me just tell you, there's another part to that, and there's a time where you just sit and listen. You just listen. And I know some of you might say, I've tried that, you know. I just sit in silence, and I go crazy because I start thinking about my to-do list and thinking about all the things that have to be, and my mind wanders, and then I feel guilty because I wasn't focused on God, and then I don't hear anything, and so I know God's not speaking to me. Let me just tell you, God speaks in mysterious ways, and we don't always hear at the rate that God speaks. I'm speaking to you right now. You're hearing it almost instantly, right? Sometimes God speaks and we don't hear it for a month or a year or 5 years down the road. God was speaking to me about this book that we're writing. He's probably started speaking to me 3 or 4 years ago. I just heard it about a year and a half ago. So I trust you. If you open your heart up and say, God, I just wish you would speak to me today, He will speak. Just be patient on when you'll actually hear the words. And then last but not least, we need an accountability partner. We need somebody. We need somebody to be our blind spot accountability partner. Phil and I, when we were writing the book together, we just said, hey, we're going to be that for each other. I'd walk in his office and I would say, is this a blind spot I have? He would do the same with me. I think this might be a blind spot I have. You know who else is great for me as an accountability partner? My wife, Stacy. She's a great accountability partner for me. And another one that's really, really good is my kids. I'm going to tell you, they love pointing out my blind spots. But I love that. I love that. I love that they feel open to do that. Now, let me just kind of a little side note here. Guys, when your wife buys a new outfit and she walks out in the room and says, does this look good on me? She's not asking you to be her blind spot accountability partner. She's asking you to say it looks beautiful. All right? So just want to make sure you got that one for free. Take a look at this quote on the screen here. Remember I talked to you about the science of, you know, your eyes and so forth. It says, each of your eyes has a small blind spot in the back of the retina where the optic nerve attaches. We talked about that. But look at this next sentence. It says, you don't notice the hole in your vision because your eyes work together to fill in each other's blind spot. So my right eye has a blind spot accountability partner. You know who it is? It's the left eye. The left eye has a blind spot accountability partner. It's the right eye. We need some right and left eyes that are in our life that look inside of us to help us see those blind spots. You know, at the end of the story, the woman there, if you go back to verse 50, and you see that verse up there, it's kind of small. I'm sorry for that, but I'll read it. Jesus says to her, says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, she wasn't saved by the expensive perfume. You know, you might have been distracted by that. You know, when she brought some expensive perfume. She wasn't even saved by her boldness. You know, she found out they were having a dinner party. And I mean, that in that culture of that day, that was pretty bold to come busting in. She wasn't saved by her humility. She wasn't saved even by her tears. She was saved because of her sight. She was saved because of her faith. She could now see. Her blind spots had been removed. She had decided that she was going to look in her mirrors from this point forward. And you know what happens when you do that? Because sometimes that can get a little yucky, right? Hey, do I have a blind spot? Whew, you know, you kind of brace. Oh, I don't know if I want to hear this. But you know what happens? Look at the last three words of the verse. Jesus says, "Live in peace." How many of you would like to live in peace, right? So how well do you see? Are there things that might be blocking your vision? Do you need to find a few mirrors that you put in your life that you check every single day so that you can experience this peace that Jesus is talking about? Because you know what you can't and don't see truly can hurt you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son who demonstrated so well the need to not necessarily have 20/20 vision with our eyes, but to be able to have 20/20 vision with our hearts. God, we pray for your guidance and your help and your will. We pray, God, that you will put people in our lives that love us enough that can speak into those corners of our soul that we can't see. And God, we pray that we use your word, and God, that we spend our time alone with you, so that you can lovingly shape us and develop us to be the person that you've called us to be. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.